Isaiah chapter, chapter 9 this morning as we continue to look at the heart of Christmas. Last week we talked about the joy that comes at the heart of Christmas, the joy that comes through Christ, the joy that is there even in the dark times and the hard times. It's the joy that can't be found anywhere else but in Christ. So we talked about that a little bit last week, and today we're going to talk about the peace that comes, or that Christmas brings, which is at the heart of Christmas, the peace. I don't know about y'all, but peace is very important to me. I didn't realize how important it was to me until after I got saved, because I didn't realize I didn't have it until I got saved. And I realized that there was chaos at points in my life, and I realized there was trouble, but I didn't realize there was peace to be had in Christ. And once I was aware of that, then praise the Lord, things changed dramatically. As I was looking at this message, over the last several years, I was reflecting on the time that I've been here doing ministry, and mostly the last two or three years especially, seems a little bit more obvious to me that the world is not full of peace. If you think about it, if you look around and see what's happened in the world and things that are going on around the world, and it's nothing new. The lack of peace has been existing since Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden in this world. And from then on, man has had trouble getting along and had trouble finding peace or creating peace or trying to make peace with one another. And I think there's a lot of folks over the generations and over the ages that are genuinely seeking peace, seeking to find that peace. I think most of us are doing so. The only ones that truly find it, you know as well as I do, if you're saved, are the ones who know Jesus, right? So that's what we're going to talk about this morning, and I'm not sure how quickly we're going to get through this, but I think it's a short, brief message, because it's almost self-explanatory if you know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, then I hope you find out what I'm talking about today so that you too can have the same peace. Chapter 9 of Isaiah says this right here. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Every Christmas, I will talk about this verse. Because when we look at the birth of Jesus and we study the meaning of his birth, the purpose of his birth, and what it means about the plan of salvation that God had promised us, and fulfilled his promise through Jesus, we have to know who Jesus is in that and what it means. We have to understand this, or we might struggle even to be saved, if you think about it. And I'm not here to challenge anybody's salvation or anything like that. You and the Lord know where you stand. I hope that you stand in the presence of God and in the peace and the joy that Jesus brings. I hope that you stand in the forgiveness and the grace that comes through the blood of Christ, which we just celebrated when we had communion just now. But I've talked to way too many people over this last year, casual conversation with just different folks around my life, and there's way too many people who seem to have concluded that they can have all of this peace and this joy and not be part of the church, and not worship this God who sent Jesus through the virgin birth on that day when Jesus was born. For some reason, people have it in their mind that they can live in this world that is not full of peace and never interact with God at all and still have this peace and still enjoy the joy and the peace that come through Christ, through the promise of God. It's the epitome of what it looks like to try to have your cake and eat it too. Wouldn't you agree? I know all y'all agree because you're in here and you're worshiping the Lord today with us. And it's not just about going to church, is it? It's about how you're living your life. It's about how you love other folks. It's about how you serve God around the community. It's how you serve other people, because the peace and the joy of Christ is in you, because you have Jesus. Here's something I don't know if you're aware of, and it's baffling me. It breaks my heart. There are Christian churches, some churches that are calling themselves Christian today in this world, that are making the decision to not have church service because Christmas is on Sunday. Let that sink in. I'm wrestling with that because I'm deciding if I'm brokenhearted and sad or if I'm just ticked off. Because if we say we're believers and we say God is our master, our Lord, and Jesus is our Savior, and we run around saying that let's put Christ back in Christmas, but then we're going to cancel church on Sunday morning because it's on Christmas. We're not doing that, by the way, y'all. We're going to worship the Lord because it's Sunday. And it just happens to be Christmas. So it's a double for us. Isn't that great? What a better time to go to church and worship our Lord, who fulfilled his promise to us that saved our lives. This Bible we just read, this one verse, describes Jesus, the one who's to be born to us, the Son of God, who's given to us, as it's described. He's given to us. It's a gift. He's called Wonderful Counselor. He's called Mighty God, Eternal Father. But more directly, I want to focus on, he's called the Prince of Peace. And I don't know about y'all, but there's a lot of reasons why people don't have peace in this world. Even some of us who are saved don't feel the peace sometimes, just because life happens. And we live in a world and we're not immune to the problems of the world and the effects of sin in this life. But we have a Savior who's named Prince of Peace, and I want to talk about that name just briefly. Prince of Peace in the Hebrew is, if I can say it right, it's pronounced Sar Shalom. That's the Hebrew. And those two words mean something, and put together, it describes who Jesus really is. Sar is a word that refers to a person who is in charge of something, or the governor of something, the captain, the boss, right? And when it comes to Jesus and who he is, who this little baby became, I'm fine with that, y'all. If you're saved, you have to be fine with him being in charge, him being the Lord, him being the governor of your life. He's the man in charge. The Romans even called their governor Caesar, y'all. Caesar. We say it Caesar, but that's what they use this term to show who is in charge. And a prince, there's the king, and then there's the prince, or princes, multiple, depending on how many sons the king would have in a kingdom. The king would sit on his throne and have counsel around him and make decisions and sign off on them. The prince, or multiple princes, would go into the areas and govern the people and manage the people and run the business or the kingdom. This is Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the one who leads, who guides, who instructs, who commands. He's the one who shows us the way. He leads by example. And that's where you all say praise the Lord and Merry Christmas. Because if he didn't do that, we'd be totally lost, and we would have no hope, we would have no joy, and we certainly would have no peace. So back to Isaiah, it says that he is the supreme ruler. He's not only our wonderful counselor, he's not only mighty God, he's not only eternal father, but he is the prince, the governor of peace. He manages peace. His very existence brings peace into your life. This is how, when you see chaos happening, it's always the church that's standing firm in the peace that comes through Christ. We're affected by it. We're hurt by it. We may even be emotionally in trouble, but for some reason or another, it's the ones who really know Jesus, the ones who are genuinely saved, somehow find peace even in those moments. And those who aren't believers, those who don't have this peace, they look at those believers and they're exasperated sometimes, and they say to them, how is it that you can be at peace right now in the middle of this nonsense or this chaos or this lack of? I've been there plenty of times in my life. I've gotten mad at folks that I love because they're not freaking out like I'm freaking out. Don't you see what's happening? How come you're not panicking like I am? How come you're not hurting like I am? And the truth is they always were. But they knew who the Prince of Peace is in their life. We have confidence in this peace. When we have this peace, we have a different kind of confidence to face anything and everything that comes along. You want to talk about a Merry Christmas? You want to talk about a gift? At Christmas time, let's look at what God has given us. He didn't just promise to forgive our sins and wag his finger and say, don't do it again. He promised that he would make things the way he intended them to be to start with, which means he wants us to be with him for eternity in his presence, in his holiness. Nothing but peace there. And I think if you know the Lord like I do, if you're saved, and you know that there's one day when we leave this world, we go on to be with the Lord, we're going to be living fully in that peace. And what we're experiencing now, the peace that we have in us now, is only a little bit of what we have to come. Isn't that great? So no matter what your Christmas looks like, no matter how hard things are or what might be missing this year, you can still have a Merry Christmas in the light of the peace that comes through Christ, our Savior, our Prince of Peace. Jesus is Shar Shalom for us. He is that for everybody. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 talks about this in a different way, in a similar way, but different. He's describing what it is like to be in Christ. And he says these words, for this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. So that the name of Jesus, listen to this, y'all, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There is no one or no group of ones who will come against our Lord and conquer him. No one can take this peace from us. No one can dare talk us out of it if we know this peace. If we genuinely know who Jesus really is. This is the one whose birth we celebrate on Christmas Day, y'all. And if we genuinely love God, if we genuinely have surrendered to him as Lord of our lives, repented of being sinners, baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, as is instructed throughout the Scripture, then how dare we say those things are true in our life and then don't come and worship him on any Sunday, let alone Christmas Day. Right? Isn't it odd that a person who believes in the one who is called the Prince of Peace finds some reason, something more important than worshiping the one who lords over their life? Something wrong, isn't it? Something missing. Something amiss. Let's talk about peace for a minute. The word shalom genuinely means peace within, sort of. When the Jewish community says the word shalom to one another, they're wishing peace within your own self. They're wishing you to be a peaceful person and that it would overwhelm you. The question I have today, is it really possible in this world to find this, to experience this? Is it possible? Because everybody in the world would like to have world peace, except for those who are evil, of course. But most people who are genuinely nice people or decent people, they want world peace. we would all say, yeah, let's try to make world peace. Let's try to get along. But you know as well as I do, you don't have to go too far down the street to find somebody who's not willing to get along and not willing to do their part. Or maybe their understanding of peace is different than ours or yours or mine. Is it really possible, or is it just a dream that we all use to try to make Christmas feel magical every year? Well, you and I, who are believers, we know the answer to this question, I hope. Because it is possible. But it's only possible through Jesus, our Savior. Through this Prince of Peace that's described. I want to keep pointing out in the first part of chapters 9, verse 6 of Isaiah, it says, a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. It's a gift. It's not what we earn. It's not what we deserve. It's not even something that God has to do. This gift. But he gives it anyway. So how do we find peace between people? This is how we find peace between us and God, through Jesus, right? Through salvation. But how do we find peace between ourselves? Because that's part of what Jesus died for. That's part of what the Christian life is about. Because if Jesus is living in the believer, and the Spirit of God is alive and well, together with the Word of God, which is powerful and true, working hard in the lives of the believer, and we serve the same God, same Spirit, how can we not be at peace with one another as believers? I'll give you this illustration. Some other preacher used this illustration. He said there was a man who got on a train, and he was assigned a seat that was between two other ladies. One lady was next to the window, and the other lady was next to the aisle in this train, and he was in the middle. And the ladies began to bicker and fight and argue quite aggressively about whether the window should be opened or closed. Because the lady next to the window complained that if the window was open, she would die of pneumonia. The lady on the aisle said if the window wasn't open, she would have a heat stroke and die. And then the ticket man came along, collecting everyone's tickets as they rolled down the tracks. And the ladies asked the ticket taker to solve the problem. And he said, I don't have a solution to your problem. I'm sorry. And finally, the man who sat in the middle of the two ladies spoke up and said, I have a solution. Let's open the window, and the lady over here by the window will die. And then we'll close the window, and the lady on the aisle will die. And there will be peace. It's kind of extreme. Maybe it would work. Probably not the best approach. The reason I shared that is because I think sometimes when we think about peace, we think about the absence of conflict. And that's not really what the Bible describes as what peace is. Because y'all, anybody who in this room who's married understands that's not what peace is. All the ladies are saying what? Amen, right? Sometimes there's peace even when we're not getting along or we don't see things the same, but we still love each other. We still have the same in common. We're still working toward the same goals. We're serving the same Lord. Just because there's some conflict in your life or in the world doesn't mean that peace doesn't exist. Because if the Prince of Peace, as is described in our text, means that when Jesus was born, he brought peace into the world, what does that mean about him since there is no peace in this world? You see, it doesn't work, so it can't be right, because we know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is Lord and Savior, but there's still sin in the world, and there's still people who hurt each other and serve wickedness. And then there's still the believers, those who are genuinely in love with the Lord and genuinely saved, who still do wicked things from time to time. It's called sin. So that means there's not peace in my heart always. And once we get to this point, here's a side note, once we get to the point where we understand that when there's not peace within me, it's my fault, not God's fault. The peace doesn't just come and go. I'm moving away from it. The peace is there. It's a gift. You don't get to give it back, and you can't re-gift it without keeping some of it. Make sense? So, in Scripture, peace always talks about this inner peace, this peace within. Because if you're like me, and I suspect that you most likely are, when you realized you were a sinner or an offender of God, an enemy of God, because of your decisions, you were cut to the heart, you were convicted, and there was no peace in your heart in that moment. And when you received Jesus and his sacrifice and you said yes to him as Lord and Savior, you repented and you followed his instructions to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you received the gift of the Holy Spirit, suddenly there was peace within because God erased the problem. He took away the chaos. He took away the unrest. He took away the things that interfered with the peace that God sent Jesus to give you. It's not only an inner peace, but it's also a peace with people, with you and me and each other, not just each other in the church, but us in the community. We're supposed to be peacemakers in this world, not by anything we can do, but by the presence of the Spirit of God in our life, because we take the gift that's given us and we live it out, and we just insert peace into our relationships. Doesn't mean we don't have disagreements or discussions or whatever. But there's peace within. And it's all because there's peace with God. You see how Jesus is the governor of peace or the prince of peace, not only in your life, but in the world, in your heart, in your mind. And anytime we're outside of that, it's because we've made a decision to reject the peace that's already there. So it's not the absence of conflict, but it's the presence of love. That's peace. Anybody who's been through some traumatic situations, whatever that might be, you understand that those traumatic situations don't feel very peaceful. Feel like your whole world's upside down. Feel like nothing is under your control. And sometimes it might even wonder, where's God and how come God's not dealing with this? But because of our faith and because of what we believe and because of what we know, that Scripture says we can have peace in our heart that God is involved and God knows about it and God is handling things. And what brings us the most peace, I suspect, at least it does for me, is knowing that no matter what happens in this world or how many times it happens or how long it lasts, there's going to be a day when I stand before God after I leave this world, and there will be no sorrow, there will be no pain, there will be no heartache. Just peace. All because this baby came into the world as a gift to me and you. It's just amazing to think about. And how can we ever go through a time of celebration such as Christmas and not acknowledge all of these things? And not realize and be reminded of and let them become more and more real in our life every year that God gives us, it should drive us to the foot of the cross. It should drive us before the throne of God. It should make us fall on our knees and worship him, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, or even Sunday, especially Christmas Sunday. Because it's a gift that we don't deserve. And if we expect there to be peace in the world just because God loves the world, we're misunderstanding what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, whoever should believe will have eternal life. Whoever is with God will experience this peace. And the closer we get to God and the more time we spend with God, the more of this peace we experience and the more we can know and the more we can stand firm, the stronger we get in our faith, the more joy we will have. This is how it works. There's an article in a journal. It's called The Personal Journal. It's a study of the last 3,500 plus years of recorded history. It says that over 8,000 peace treaties have been signed in the world, all of them broken. That's just some evidence that we can't get along. We can't make it happen for ourselves. Now, I love you, and the Lord loves you. And I'm pretty sure that there's going to be some things in the future that we're going to have to work out together. It's just the way life is, y'all. But if we all have this peace in our heart, and we all have this spirit that God has given us, and we let him be Lord in our heart, then God will have his way, and peace will exist. And Christmas will be merry. No matter what your neighbors say, no matter what society says, Christmas can be and should be merry. Now, I don't know which believers around the world are making plans to do Christmas worship on Christmas Eve and then shutting the church down on Christmas Day, but I'm praying that maybe this they'll change their minds. Maybe the Lord will just give them a little bit of reminder that maybe we ought to reconsider what we're doing here. There's probably been 2 years in my life, both of them I think was before I was a believer, where I didn't decorate the house and didn't put up a Christmas tree. And there was reasons for that. And as I look back on that, it should have never happened. It should have never happened that way. Because when we neglect the meaning of Christmas, when we neglect to celebrate and appropriately honor what Jesus came into this world to do, when we do that, are we saying to God, only if I get my way and you do things like I like them will I worship you? Only if things are the way I want them to be will I celebrate your son and his birth. Or only if the world won't persecute me so much will I put my Christmas celebration on in front of the world. If you're the only person in this world that would ever celebrate Christmas again, will you still do it? Will you still honor the gift that God has given us? Will you still live in the peace that comes with that gift? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. I'm not really challenging anybody here in this church, because I've been around you long enough to know that y'all love Christmas and y'all want to celebrate Christmas and y'all love the Lord. I can see it. But there's folks out there that we all know in this community. They might know who God is. They may have, at some point in their life, made some kind of commitment to their spiritual walk with God, but they haven't been seen anywhere near the church or involved in the church in a long time. And when I go to people's houses like that, I see Christmas trees and gifts, pies and cakes. It's probably the reason I stopped in there, because I smelled pies and cakes. And it makes me wonder, it's like, okay, you're celebrating Christmas at home, but what are you doing in the world? What about your life says that you've received this gift from God? What about your witness that says that Jesus really is the Son of God, that he really is the Prince of Peace, he really is the Lord of your life? I don't even have to ask why they're not at church, because I know. It's because they've lost sight of who Jesus really is. And I'm saying they loosely, because sometimes we can be they if we're not careful. Sometimes we're checking out subtly of different things or different things that God is pressing us to do with our life, because life takes its own course sometimes. I'm as guilty as anybody else in the world. We have to work hard at spiritual growth. We have to work hard at studying our scripture so that the Spirit of God would continue to make these things real in our life, so that it would be no question for us whether or not we're going to worship God on any given day. It's not going to be any question, where else would I be on a Sunday when the rest of the church family is worshiping God? Where else would I be? Well, my kids want to open their gifts and We don't really want to change out of our pajamas. There's no other peace to be found, y'all. So the heart of Christmas is peace. It's in the heart. That's what it's all about. It's about all of this decorating the house, and it's about giving gifts, and it's about meals, and it's about fellowship. It's about being jolly, and it's about sharing joy, and it's about just kindness, and whatever the world wants to make it about. It's all about those things. But if it's not about Jesus and his sacrifice and the gift that was given to us, it's about nothing. The birth of Jesus is the beginning of God's fulfillment of his promise that was made all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. When Adam and Eve decided they were going to do the one thing that God told them not to do, they were lied to and they believed the lie, and then they sinned, and then they started pointing the fingers at each other, then they pointed a finger at God, and they couldn't clothe themselves properly, and God says, "Let me fix this," and he clothed them properly, kicked them out, and said, "I'll fix it." And thousands of years later, here we are. Problem solved. Peace given. Praise God. Hallelujah. If we don't eat ham or turkey and don't even share gifts that we wouldn't even give ourselves, let's come to church and worship God together in celebration of the gift that we've been given. You see, the birth of Jesus is the moment when God ushered in his terms of peace with his enemies. You ever think about it that way? When we are sinners, unrepentant sinners, we are enemies of God and his kingdom. And he sends terms of peace. He said, "Look, I want peace with you. And I'll do this to get it. I'll send Jesus to the cross. I'll let him be destroyed physically and let him die a terrible death. So we can be together." And here comes this little baby. And we sing our hymns, our Christmas hymns about him. We teach our children about him. Put our little plastic Jesus in the front yard. But if it's not real, it means nothing. I'm all for all those things. Y'all do what you feel like you need to do. But if you're missing the peace, it's because you're missing Jesus. By the way, this peace treaty that God is making, has offered us, it will never be broken like those 8,000 others that man has tried to make amongst themselves. This is what gives me hope, which we're going to talk about in the future. I'm in with God because I trust that when he says something, it's a done deal and nobody can change it. And I need that. I need that faithfulness. Because he knows I can't be trusted to keep my part of the deal. So somebody in this deal has got to be faithful. And he's the one, and we get to reap the benefits. So what will you do this Christmas? Are you going to surrender to Jesus and accept the peace that comes with the lordship of Jesus in your life? Are you going to let the peace of Christ rule in your life? Are you going to let him be Lord and Savior? Are you going to celebrate the birth of this baby because it was the fulfillment of the promise for you to have peace with God, for you to have peace with man, and for you to live in the peace that surpasses everything else in this world? That's what we're doing here. That's what it's about, y'all. I think y'all know that, and I hope it's encouraging to y'all. And I hope that you go out in the world and you find folks that don't come to church or don't serve the Lord or don't have the Christ in their life, and you just take a moment and say, "You know what Christmas is about?" And you start talking to them about these things. And if they get offended or get upset, let the Lord deal with it. Let the Lord deal with that. Because what you're trying to do is offer them the gift that God's offered us. And if they refuse that gift, that's between them and the Lord. But if you don't share that gift with them, that's between you and the Lord. That's who we are. That's what a Merry Christmas is all about. I think it's great. Everybody in this room can come up with some reason to not enjoy Christmas. Every year there's something happens that could make you, if you focus on it long enough, you'll just make yourself miserable all throughout Christmas and you'll miss out. But the reality is we should be celebrating Christmas every day, all day. Christmas and Easter go together. That's the reason why I make my PowerPoints look like they do. I made that PowerPoint for y'all to make a point. And I sat there and looked at it. Right after I made it, I sat there and looked at it for probably 20 minutes, just looking at it, thinking in my mind, I'm like, is this too extreme for people? Are they going to get offended because I'm showing an image of what Jesus might have looked like after his suffering when we're supposed to be celebrating his birth? But if you notice, you see the manger up there and the empty grave. It's all there. It's the full package. That's the gift. You don't get any of it without all of it. Isn't that great? It's a real deal, y'all. And I fight this every year. Right about October, I get into this hunker down, buckle my seatbelt, and grab another gear mode because I know things are going to start happening for the rest of the year in my life and here in the church and all around the world. Everybody just starts hustling. And then when January 1st comes around, we're all relieved and we're kicking back in our recliners all fat and happy and glad it's all over with because we missed Christmas. And we didn't get to enjoy the peace in the middle of it all. And I'm just encouraging y'all, try not to do that. And try to help others not to do that. Go find those ones that seem to be missing it all the time, and that's why they're not around. Because I think they know the Lord, and I think some of them even love the Lord, but they're missing Jesus. They're missing the picture. I love you, the Lord loves you. We're going to sing together. You ready? And I could talk about this all day if you want me to. Nobody's saying amen. Let's stand together and we'll sing. If you need to make a decision, if you don't know Jesus, there's no way for you to have peace. Today's the time to do it. You ready?